You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
This morning, I've looked forward to this message and just these moments. As you know, we are in the midst of expanding our lobby, restructuring our offices, and we've been receiving Build the House commitments along the way. This is our first fruits Sunday for Build the House. Now, what we mean by that is on our commitments, we're going to give the first part. We're going to do our very best. We're going to receive an offering at the end of the service. This is something we've done for the last several years. Actually, last year we took some time off. But the Lord has helped us. We're a comeback church. Amen. And the enemy tried to take us out, but God had a plan for this place. And good things started happening. It took a while to get momentum. We've been here about 7 years, and those first few years were a little bit rough, but then we started to get momentum, and we are exploding in growth. These last weekends, we've been pushing 750 people on our campuses. Can you say praise the Lord for that? And God has totally, hundreds of people coming. We've been able to build our children's theater upstairs, been able to put our nursery, new nursery. You've heard me talk about this the last 14 months. There's been 18 babies born. You know, in snowbird season, people ask, they said, Pastor, our church is dying, and it just seems like you got so many young people. And I think I got a new response. Remodel your nursery. Just a step of faith. Believe God's going to bring you some families. Amen. And we did that with our children and our nurseries, and God's bringing families. And, of course, the sanctuary, it was a year ago I saw on Facebook, it brings up whatever's happened like a year ago. We were talking about getting all this together. It was Easter week that we got the carpet down, got the sound booth up and running. I mean, we were hanging doors on Good Friday at 5 till 6 before service started. And it all came together. And absolutely amazing. Well, this next project that we're doing, it's above and beyond tithe. When we talk about first fruits, I'm not talking about our tithing. We believe in first fruits giving. And we'll talk about that in our covenant series in just a few weeks, because God says when we bring all the tithe into the storehouse, prove him to see if he'll not open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing that we can't contain it. There's our part and there's God's part. And that's what we've been talking about in covenant relationship, that God's promises are yes, yes, and amen. He watches over his word. We've been looking at the blood covenant and all that's entailed in that blood covenant, how he provides for us forgiveness. He provides for us fellowship, friendship. He provides for us all the provision that we will ever need. And then he provides for us to be family. That's what happened in the blood covenant. That's Easter. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. That covenant that was established. And that's what we've been talking about. And of course, that has to do with our giving. We're using that word first fruits, not as our tithe, not as giving the first part. And you've heard me talk about this many times. Liz and I, before we pay our taxes, before we pay our house payment, before we pay our electric bill. We don't owe anything except a house and the electric company. But God gets the first. He always gets the first. When I was a kid, my dad was a pastor, and pastored a rural church, pastored the same church 58 years, and I remember people bringing, in the springtime, summertime, they would bring sacks of tomatoes or carrots or radishes. I used to think, well, that's nice. You know, they bring in dad, mom, some vegetables. It wasn't until I got a little older that I recognized and understood they were bringing their first fruits from their garden to give. And we are first fruits people. The Bible has a lot to say about that. Well, this Sunday, we're bringing first fruits for our build the house. So it's not a tithe, if you will. This is above and beyond giving. And we just want to do our very best here at the outset so that we can get started, so that we have an idea where we're going. That's why we ask people. A lot of folks don't want to make commitments and fill out that commitment cards. It helps us because then we have an idea where we're going in this process. And so before we do that, I want to talk to us just a little bit about faith, because faith dares to step out. Faith dares to do more. Everything we do in life is based on faith. We're saved by faith. The Bible says if we believe in our heart, God raised Jesus from the dead, we believe it and we confess it with our mouth, that's how we're saved. Everything in the Christian life. See, I've never seen God. I've sensed him. I see him in creation, but I've never literally seen him. I've never heard him speak. I've begged for him to speak. I've said, God, please speak. And I've never heard an audible voice. I've sensed his voice in my heart. I've sensed his voice through his word. So, it's not this tangible, but it is faith. The Bible says God has given to every man a measure of faith. I happen to believe that's enough faith that when you hear the gospel proclaimed, it's enough faith to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and to believe it and confess it with your mouth. Here's what I want you to understand. The Christian life is a faith life. The reason people get messed up, the reason churches get messed up, is we try to bring God down into a realm of our understanding. God is beyond. It's a faith walk. It's a faith experience. It's believing God's word over my circumstances, over situations in life. Are you still with me? Amen. Now, these are all fundamental things we've talked about numbers and numbers of times. This morning, I want to take us back to a familiar passage, look at it in a little bit different way. But Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. How many are glad you came to church today? Amen? Wow, I am too. Listen, let's read this. Follow along. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for dogs. Look out for evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I'm more circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law blameless. But whatever I gain, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. All right, let me just pause for a second there. He's essentially been saying, don't trust in the flesh. It's not about who you are, who your name is, what you have, how intelligent. Apostle Paul, one of the most brilliant men to ever live. And he's saying, I don't put anything, any confidence in any of these things. And then he comes back and he says, but that which is through faith in Christ. It's a faith experience. And he's talking to us about putting our faith, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may become like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining for what lies ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Let's pray this morning. Father, I love you. The best I know how, I love you. Growing in grace, growing in love, learning to surrender, learning to humble myself, to simply depending on you and not myself. God, I need you this morning. I pray that you would help me as I share some thoughts on faith, because, Lord, I know every Sunday that I stand here, regardless if I'm teaching through a book, giving correction or direction, I always know that there are multitudes of need that's present. And that, Lord, if our faith can be built, faith coming by hearing the word of God, and that somehow we can look beyond an experience, a worship experience, a dynamic time, and lift our eyes, our hearts, and lift it above a man, and hear the word, and our faith be built, lifting our eyes up unto the hills from which cometh our help. Our help is from the Lord. And that, Father, today is a day of breakthrough and a day of miracles for individuals in this place. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness, your goodness. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. May I be a vessel by which your spirit would speak and flow. Love you and I praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray all these things. And everyone would say, amen. 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 The Bible says this, without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. I've taught you this time and time and time again. Faith believes that God is. He's present. He's right now. He's not future. Future is hope. Faith is now. We hope for the future, but faith is today. Faith is now. So we believe God is. He's a right now God. Amen? And we believe God can. We believe God can do anything. Amen? Yeah. Here's our hang up. We have a hard time believing that he'll do it for us. We believe he is. We believe he can. We believe he'll do it for Pastor Fred. We believe that he'll do it for Liz. We believe he'll do it for someone else, for sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so who appears to be very spiritual, but we just don't know that he would do it for us. And faith is believing God is, it's believing God can, and it's believing he'll do it for me. Amen? Sure. And so without faith, we can't even please the Lord. Faith is the foundation of all we do. The Apostle Paul said, listen, all of my accomplishments and all of my gain is rubbish. It's all about faith in Christ. It's that which comes in verse number 9, through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Let me give you just a few thoughts about faith. Number one, if you're taking notes, you'll find this if you're following along online, and you'll see all of our notes and scriptures there. But here's what I want you to see first in talking about what we're calling first fruits, faith. It's this: faith must be focused. Faith must be focused. There's a lot of things in life that you just need to be close. But I believe faith is one of those things that needs to be accurate. Let me tell you something that I think can be close. Evangelism, just try. Amen? I've said this for years. God honors the efforts. Just put forth effort to invite someone. Go in the highways and hedges. Compel them to come in, to proclaim who Jesus is. Just give it effort. When it comes to faith, here's what you need to understand. Faith needs to be focused. It's an interesting statement when you talk about faith. Faith. People use that to describe what denomination that they are. People say, what faith are you? Well, I'm Baptist. I use that expression a lot because it just seems like there's a lot of Baptists. You've heard me say this. They did a survey of the South. They found out there's more Baptists than people in the South. It's funny. We have snowbirds through the winter time, and there was a gentleman, him and his wife came, and it's their first year to be here, and he says, you know, they were from, I think, Minnesota, and he said, you know, you talk about Baptists in the South. He said, everyone in Minnesota is Lutheran or Catholic. And he said, we came our first Sunday here. He said, you know, we just kind of attract Northerners. And there was this other couple, and they said, where are you from? And we're from Wisconsin, and they're from Minnesota. And so they had a relationship going on there. And the lady said, she said, now, we are Lutheran. He said, I knew what she was saying. She was saying, we're not what this church is. But it seems to be happening, and so we come here, but we're not them. We're not them at all. And this gentleman who was relating the story to him, he said, we invited them out to lunch. And he said, they went out to lunch afterwards, and she said, well, she said, apparently the pastor is very excited about what he talks about. And he's trying to get all of us excited about it too. Well, that's exactly right. I want us to be excited about Jesus, amen? We get, this expression, I'm Baptist or I'm Lutheran, I'm Assembly of God, Charismatic, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Jewish, whatever it is, we use that. When I use the word faith, I'm referring to the active dynamic power, the activator which releases power and authority into life circumstances and situations. Faith, but that kind of power, faith to move mountains, it must be focused. I find that a lot of believers make the mistake of putting faith in faith, whatever their denomination is. Or they put faith in faith, what they're saying is, it's I'm spiritual. And so, as a result, we've got a society, churches that are filled with people that act spiritual, but there's no power. It's interesting how we miss the whole idea, and we put faith in faith. Faith must be accurate. See, it's not how spiritual we are. It's the fact that we serve God. God is a spirit. They that worship him in spirit and in truth, that we connect with God. It's not how righteous I can act. It's how righteous he is. My faith must be focused on Christ and not have faith in something less. Paul said it this way. He said that I may be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Some people make the mistake of putting faith in fallacy, if you would. In other words, they trust in things that are uncertain. They trust in possessions. And we have a great tendency to do that in American culture, Western culture. And sometimes we fail. We just block it out of our mind how volatile stock market is, how influential whenever the Fed's raise the interest rate and the uncertainties. And we think we're always gonna have resource, possessions, when in reality it can be taken away from us in an instant. We put our faith in positions. You know, well, I'm a deacon, I'm an elder, I'm a Sunday school teacher, I'm a small group leader. And none of those things have anything to do. You can attain a position and not be spiritual. Not even be a Christian. But yet we say, well, I have this position. Or we put faith in the fact that somehow we have power. What I mean by that is influence. We put faith in people. Man, I've made that mistake. I've pastored, been in church ministry and pastoring for 35 years. Here's what I've discovered. The person, the people that I always think are going to come through are never the people that come through. But there's that tendency to think, this person is the answer. They're not. It's amazing we put our faith in the president. We put our faith in the banker, lawyer. The Bible says this, looking unto who? Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So it's not about faith in faith, and it's not this faith in fallacy. Here's another big one. You know, and we do this in charismatic realms a lot, but I think it's in general, we put faith in formula. Faith in formula. We hear a testimony and we think, okay, this is what's got to happen. It's going to happen this way, this person. And let me just remind you, just because God did it one way doesn't necessarily mean he's going to do it that way again. Well, what happens is we put God in a box and we think that it's all about formula. And you hear me tell you often, I preach in points. It helps me to stay focused. It helps us to learn. But never reduce God down to a three-point formula. You can't do that. There was a man in the Bible by the name of Naaman. You can read about it in 2 Kings chapter 5. He had leprosy. He went to the man of God. The man of God told him, said, you go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. He was so upset. He thought that the man of God would come out and speak some words over him. He had a preconceived idea of how God was going to do it. And he got angry and he was leaving, and his servants told him, said, listen, if he would have told you to go to some beautiful river, you would have done it. Why don't you just do this? He ended up doing it, going to the Jordan River, that old dirty river, and the miracle took place. But he thought it was going to happen another way. And so many times we have a preconceived idea and God doesn't always do it the same. Here's what I want you to know. God works. God responds to faith, and God can do it however he wants to do it. And I think sometimes our prayer needs to be, God, I'm available. Here I am. Whatever you want to use the doctor, that's fine. You want to use medicine, that's fine. You want to supernaturally touch me, that's fine. You want to bring it through the mail, that's fine. You want to give me a job, that's fine. You want to give me a raise, that's fine. Whatever it is, God, you do it the way you want to do it. I just want to be a part of what you're doing. Amen? Sure. So faith must be focused. You could write in there, be focused on Christ. Not faith in faith, not in religion, not in how spiritual I think I might be or righteous I think I might be. It's not my own righteousness is what Paul's saying. It's all about faith in Christ, and it's righteousness that comes from faith. No faith in fallacy, in all the things that come and go, and not faith in formula. All the fads that you'll see on Christian television. Be careful what you watch on Christian television. Liz and I spent a few days in Nashville, flipped on the TV, and I thought, dear God, no wonder the world thinks we're weird. Be careful with that. So it's not the latest fad of what's happening in the church. Let me just say this. That's why a lot of people are church hoppers, go all over the place. They're looking for the latest fad. They're looking for the coolest new worship. They're looking for the latest theology. You know why I believe God's blessing this church? Because our worship is focused on Jesus, and because we preach the Bible. Someone say amen. Amen. I believe it. Here's the second thing I want you to notice is this. Faith responds in obedience. Faith responds in obedience. And let me say this about obedience. Obedience is doing what we can do. I think sometimes we think faith and obedience is doing something we can't do. But faith responds in obedience. It's doing what we can do. Too often we limit faith to things we can't. We fail to see that doing what we can do takes faith as well. Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. He was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Obedience pleases God. He did what he could do. He lived a life that pleased God. Faith's doing what we can do. What's that doing? Pleasing him, obeying him. You read down Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, respect, awe, he constructed an ark. Apparently, he knew how to construct an ark. He knew how to build. He was doing what he could do. God gave him the instructions, but he did it. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed. When he was called to go out to a place that he was going to receive an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. What did he do? He did what he could do. He obeyed. What's the Bible say? The willing and obedient eat the good of the land. Good comes to those who obey. Obedience many times is simply doing what you can do. What can I do? What can I do? It's obvious. When I say these things, you'll know them. It's obvious. I can tithe. Tithing has nothing to do with how much money we give. God, in his genius, provided for everyone to be able to participate and walk in obedience. The tithe is fair for everyone. What can I do? I can tithe. What can I do? How can I obey? How can I show faith? I can be a witness. It's not a casual suggestion. It's a command, not for the pastor, but for the whole church. What can I do? What is God calling you to do that you can already do? Let me tell you, one of the biggest hindrances to releasing our faith and seeing God move, you can forgive. You can forgive. You can choose by the grace of God to release that offense that is renting space in your mind and causing havoc for your life. You can choose to let it go. Hello? When Jesus died on the cross, one of the things he said, Father, forgive them. Do you know, in the light of eternity, your offense doesn't mean a whole lot. I'm not trying to minimize the pain, and some of you have been hurt deeply or abused. Don't misunderstand. I'm saying in the light of eternity, for if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither can your heavenly Father forgive you. And I think many times our faith and forgiveness are directly tied together. What can I do? I can draw close to him, devotional life. What can I do? I can help those in need. What can I do? I can sow a seed. There's always something I can sow in kindness. I can extend a hand. I can help someone to feel welcome. Faith is not only, listen to this. This is tweetable right here, okay? Faith is not only a commitment to the promises of Christ, faith is also a commitment to the demands and commands of Christ. Hello? I may have shared this story with you. I'd like to share it one more time. During World War II, the Royal Air Force was bombing munitions factories in Czechoslovakia. Several of their B-17s and B-24s were hit by anti-aircraft fire. Several of them went down, but a few of them didn't. The survivors flew back to the south of England and discovered lodged in the fuselage of their planes these shells that had not exploded. They called the bomb squad. They took them apart and they found no explosive charge. However, in one of the bombs, they found a note and it said this: "This is all we can do for now." You see, the Nazis had conscripted the Czech citizens to work in the munitions factory, and every so often, one of the fellows working would fail to put a charge in one of the shells. I just believe there's something we can do. I believe faith is action. It's acting. There's something that we can already do, that God's calling us to do, that it's an act of faith. You see, he wants us to do what we can do. He will do what we can't do. It's called a walk of faith. It's not a walk of fantasy. It is a walk of faith. He wants to teach us to walk. Faith. Faith is doing what we can. Peter stepping out of the boat. "If it's you, Lord, bid me to come." "Well, come on." He steps out. "It's Zacchaeus. Come on down. I want to go to your house." Faith to come down to say, "Really? Jesus wants to spend time with me?" Faith is Joshua marching around Jericho. See, there are certain practical steps in the walk of faith that are not spectacular. But when we do them, it provides the opportunity for a miracle to take place. Amen? Amen. My time is up. We'll come back to this. Let me just say this. Faith doesn't quit. Faith doesn't quit. Faith's doing what we can. But faith doesn't quit. It presses on. It continues. It continues on. I can't help. When I walked into the sanctuary this morning, my heart was overwhelmed because my wife and my daughter were standing in the back with our grandkids, two of them. And every time I see Sam, I hardly can hold back the tears. That's a baby that we've been praying for 3 years, but nobody prayed for that baby like that baby's Mama Paige. And through 3 years of failed adoption, getting to the week before, changing colors of the nursery, you know what? When I was thinking, "Dear God, when is this going to happen?" A perseverance and a pressing on and a not giving up. And we got a baby today. Somebody say amen. Listen, here's what I want you to know. Faith doesn't give up. It holds on. It presses on. We are so dependent upon our abilities. We're master manipulators. Versus faith, which says, "God, I can't. I don't know what else. I'm doing what I can do, but my dependence is on you." I'll close with this statement. Faith builds bridges underneath you, not in front of you. Faith builds bridges underneath you, not in front of you. I think a lot of times we say this. We say, God, if you'll do this, then I'll step out. And God's saying, you step out and I'll meet you. You take that step, I'm going to be there. You draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. You bring the tithe, I'm going to be your provider. We say, Lord, if you'll do this, then I will. And God says, no. Faith says, trust in you, God. I'm going to step out. Here's what I want you to know. When you step out with God, he never lets you fall.